Almighty God, send your Spirit into our midst that as we continue our Lenten journey, we may do so in ways that buoy our day-to-day lives and enable us to prepare our hearts for life eternal through Christ our Lord. I pray. Good morning. Well, I'm glad to know that when you came in and saw these musical instruments here, you didn't turn around and leave. That is for the Faith Alive services that will be at 9, 11, 15. But it was probably a shocker for some of you at 8 o'clock. It would have been, they were rehearsing before you came in. That really would have been a shocker in our silent service, meditative service this morning. I don't know if you follow I like to read cartoons and every now and then put one in my file, and there was one a few years ago, the Frank and Ernest cartoon, and the two characters are standing before a priest, and Frank asks, "How come opportunity knocks once, but temptation beats at my door every day?" Temptation comes in all kinds of forms. The temptation to pride, to consider oneself better than, the temptation to cut corners or to slack off or to underreach, the temptation to control that thing which you have no business controlling, the temptation to overreach, the temptation to give completely into emotions on one hand, or the temptation to live only from the neck up on the other, the temptation to drink or drug or overeat, the temptation to take foolish pride in being a teetotaler or a strict dieter, the temptation to be popular or to be perfect or to believe winning is the most important thing, the temptation to keep the peace at all costs, the temptation to give up, the temptation to live someone else's life rather than your own, the temptation to distort the beautiful gift of human sexuality God has given us into more relationships, more experiences, more distortions, such that it ceases to bear any resemblance to the purpose for its creation. The litany of temptations is as long as life itself. And before I go on, I should probably say that I have been tempted in nearly every one of the ways I've just mentioned. And sometimes I've resisted, and sometimes I've given in. What are you tempted to do? Take your pick. Or your pick takes you. You choose. Unless one is a black belt sociopath, he or she feels the undertow of some kind of temptation every day. This temptation to miss the mark or fall short of the glory of God, as Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans, whether in thought or word or deed, is as ever present as the air we breathe. Any conscience more than half alive has to deal with temptation's reality, the temptation to forsake our deepest values for something false, something counterfeit. On Wednesday, we entered the season of Lent again. The word is derived from the Anglo-Saxon Lenten, L-E-N-C-T-E-N, which actually means spring. Lent is a time for special self-scrutiny and self-discipline and preparation for the Easter victory. Taking a step back, self-assessment, as I suggested in my Ash Wednesday service, and self-discipline, if you will, are important parts not only of this season, but really of all of life for the Christian. If we don't get the amount of food and drink required of our body, we'll become physically ill. But the same principle is true with regard to our soul's health. If we do not consider our temptations, then our temptations will consider us. They will eventually control us, devour us, even unto death. Temptation can be a double-edged sword. On one hand, to be tested by God is to reveal what's in a person. We don't really know who we are until temptation comes. Take, for instance, Noah that Judge Lloyd read about a moment ago. We know Noah's story. He knew temptation only after he started building a freighter 300 cubits long and 50 cubits wide in the middle of a desert without a cloud in the sky. Can you imagine the ribbing he took? Can Can you imagine what his poor family said to him night after night as he went out day after day, herded the equivalent of the National Zoo into his ark? All this bizarre behavior before, as Genesis says, the fountains of the great deep burst forth and the windows of heaven were opened. Out comes the flood. But Noah stood firm. He passed the test. He withstood temptation to turn back, to give up. He kept the faith, even with all the ribbing and all the whining, notwithstanding the old guy had the last, really the only laugh. And there's the rainbow and the great promise from God that he told everyone about. And everything seems fat and happy. That is, until Noah reaches dry land, where he just couldn't stand the success of the story. And there we're told, after today's passage, after settling down, Noah takes a drink. In fact, a few, to the point of complete inebriation. And he strips down to his birthday suit. And when he's found, he doesn't take the blame. In fact, he curses his own son, Ham. We do not, by the way, tell this part in Vacation Bible School. And all of a sudden, the once faithful Noah looks all too human. And the living example of Oscar Wilde's words, "I can resist anything but temptation." There's another temptation beyond the ones that we find in this world, and they are the ones Jesus told his disciples to pray that they should be delivered from. The kind Jesus warned the disciples in Gethsemane to stay awake and pray to be protected from. They are the temptations, the direct temptations of the evil one. A temptation that assaults us not necessarily from the refrigerator or late night cable television, but the kind that actually slips from the hand of the enemy of Christ. It's the temptation that does not so much reveal character as it does seek to destroy it. The satanic temptation that Jesus faces in the wilderness in today's gospel is not so much about pleasure or power or self-indulgence. It's about going to a place God does not intend for Christ to go. It is, to use a phrase, a temptation to fall lower than the high place to which God calls Christ and us. Now, you and I know, if you know your Bible, Jesus wasn't just tempted in the desert. He faced it again in his early days. We read about this a few weeks ago when Peter confessed Jesus as the long-awaited Christ Messiah and then turned around and tried to convince Jesus not to be the Messiah as he was called to be. Jesus resisted that temptation. Christ knew what it was to be the suffering servant. We know he was tempted in Gethsemane as he prayed for the cup of suffering to pass from him. And of course, the last temptation, to come down off the cross as Jesus cried out to what seemed to be an absent Father God, "He loves so much, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus was tempted in these ways and many more. But you and I are too. We are, each of us, tempted too. You fill in the blank. And the truth is, most of us could fill in several right now. You know, one of the interesting things about the temptation story of Jesus in the desert is that we actually know about it. Because who was there? Jesus, the devil. Not CNN, not Fox News, not Wall Street Journal, just Jesus and the devil. So we can assume that when it was all over, that Jesus came out and told someone his secret. My guess is that we, each of us here today, have secrets. It was in Jesus' telling of his secret that others were given strength and courage. And it is in telling God our secrets that we too can be freed from sin and guilt and given strength to face temptation. In the face of being assaulted by evil, we come to see our weakness and we usually come to understand that there is little that we can do on our own to prevent entering into temptation. Ask any recovering alcoholic, it was not their power that lifted them out of their addiction. It was a higher power. And that power for we Christians is Jesus Christ. If we can stop fiddling with our temptation and instead hand it over to God, then we will more and more be set loose from the bondage of sin and guilt heaped upon guilt. We'll never come to know what great and mighty power there is in God until we face the fullness of demonic temptation and then, in fact, hand it over to God. We cannot know the preciousness of the medicine Christ offers until we know the depths of the disease from which we are being saved. There's a little book entitled Will Daylight Come? It's sort of a playful book. It's written by Richard Hoffler. And one story he tells in the book is of a little boy named Johnny who visits his grandparents. And during the visit, he's given his first slingshot and begins practicing in the woods. He worked hard at it, but he never seems to be able to actually hit his target. And he goes out into his grandma's backyard and he spies her pet duck. And on an impulse, aims and fires, and the stone hits the duck dead center, and he fell dead on the spot. The boy panicked, and he desperately hid the duck in the woodpile, only to look up and see his sister Sally watching. And after lunch that day, Grandma says, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." At which point, she sits up and says, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she came over and whispered, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, the grandfather asked if the children wanted to go fishing. But Grandma said, "I'm sorry, I need Sally to help me make supper." And Sally smiles and said, "Oh, that's all taken care of. Johnny wants to help with dinner tonight." And she leaned over and whispered in her brother's ear, "Remember the duck." And Johnny stayed to help with supper while his sister went fishing. And after several days of Johnny doing both his chores and his sister's, he just couldn't bear it any longer. And he confessed to his grandmother the secret that he had killed the duck. "I know, Johnny," the grandmother said. She gave him a little hug. "I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you days ago. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." It's Lent again. And it's time to step back and to take a look and consider who we are and what we've done and what we're doing. We have a God who, from His window, looks out and He sees it all. Our best and our worst. He's standing and He's watching the whole drama of our lives. And despite it all, He's chosen to forgive and even forget. And for some of us, my guess is He's wondering how long you might let something make a slave of you. How long will you hold to the disease when the cure is as close as bended knee and confessing lips? How long will you let Satan whisper darkness into your ears when Christ longs to whisper light into your heart? It's Lent. Once again, consider your secrets. Consider your temptations. Consider your life. consider giving all of them over to our loving God. Amen.